And because we want to be a good host, so if your friends are coming, we want to say, "Oh, there's sufficient food here," and to share with them. And the church is going to donate a lechon. So, okay, we're going to bring Alice, there's lechon there. So, whatever, roast pig. If you know what a lechon is roast pig. Yeah? You all like roast pig? Okay, good. It's not lunch yet. Let's have spiritual food now. I believe God has got a message for us this morning. Yeah, let's pray. Lord, we're so thankful, Lord, for this day. Thank you, God. It's such a joy, Lord, just to be alive. And thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your faithfulness throughout the week. And we commit this time to you and pray, God, that you just anoint our ears to hear what you're saying and our hearts, Lord, to really respond to you. And what little nugget that we can receive today, Lord, we just want to pray, may your seed, Lord, which is always great air, fall on fertile soil and bear fruits. We just want to go closer to you, Lord, to love you more. And to love others, we commit this time to you, in Jesus' name. Amen. I've entitled my message, "What Matters Most?" What matters most in life? If I'm going to ask you a question, what matters most in life, in the church or whatever it is, you might have different answers. But just to sum up here, you know, Jesus and Apostle Paul has very clearly stated to us what matters most in life is love. Okay? And I'm going to expound on that. Now, life is about love. And because God is love, the most important lesson that He wants you and I to learn on earth is how to love. It is in loving that we are most like Him. The Bible tells us that God is love. And love is the foundation of every command, instruction, counsel, admonishment that He has given us. Paul tells us in Galatians 5 verse 14, "For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command." And what is that? He said, "Love your neighbor as yourself." And the New Living Translation says, "For the whole law can be summed up in this one command, that is, love your neighbor as yourself." Now, God wants each one of us and everyone to love. I mean, wants us to love everyone, but He is particularly concerned that we learn to love others in His family. In fact, Apostle Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, the first part of verse 17 says, "Respect everyone." We are to respect everyone and show special love for God's people. And once again, Paul echoes in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, in a New Contemporary Version, said, "When we have the opportunity to help anyone, we should do it. But we should give special attention to those who are in a family of believers." Now, why does God want us to give special love and attention to other believers? Why do they get priority in loving? Because God wants His family to be known for His love more than anything else. Jesus said, "Our love for each other, not our doctrinal belief, nor even how much that we know about the Bible, as important as it is our greatest weakness to the world." In fact, John chapter 13, verse 35, in the New Living Translation, it reads, "Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." So God wants you to be in regular, close fellowship with other believers so you can develop the skill of loving. Now, loving cannot be learned in isolation. You can't learn to love in isolation or alone, right? You learn to love someone when you're in relationship with somebody, right? To care for someone, to pray for somebody, to show attention to somebody. You have to be around people who sometimes can be irritating, right? It can be imperfect. It can be also frustrating. But as iron sharpens iron, we sharpen one another. Now, the best use of life is love. Love should be our top priority, our primary objective, and our greatest ambition. Love is not a good part of your life. In fact, it is the most important part of your life. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the first part of 14, in the New Living Translation, it reads, what? Let love be your highest goal. So will you let love be your highest goal? In the Living Bible Translation, it says, let love be your greatest aim. You know, when I was quoting Winnie, you know, I always sign up, you know, let love be our highest goal. The time the New Living, the time the New Living Translation wasn't there. But I like the Living Bible Translation because it says, let love be your greatest aim. Because I know in anything that we do, I might fail. I might hurt somebody. You might hurt somebody. Do you know that because you love, you're hurt, right? Isn't that true? Have you ever felt that before? When you really love someone, you can be hurt by the people whom you love, right? And what's the solution to solve the hurt? It's love again, isn't it? Is that way? It said love perseveres and love bears all things, the Bible says. So, now, there are four truths that we can learn about love. What are the four truths that we can learn about love? Firstly, life without love is worthless. Life without love is worthless. Paul makes this point in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, chapter 1, sorry, chapter 13, verse 1 to verse 3. See, if I could speak all the languages of the earth and of angels, isn't it wonderful if you can speak all languages, you know? Even to speak two languages is awesome, or three languages, right? But imagine you speak all languages. What a gift of earth and of the angels. But didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Verse 2, if I had the gift of prophecy, wouldn't it be wonderful to have a gift of prophecy? And if I understand, not only gift of prophecy, but if I understood all of God's secret plans, wow, and possess all knowledge, and if I had such faith, not only that, that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor, well, that's generous, right? And not only that, and even sacrifice my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. So what is Paul telling us this? Love is above every spiritual gift that we have. Whether we have a gift of speaking in tongues, of all languages, whether it's a gift of prophecy, the gift of knowledge to know everything, the gift of discernment, the gift of faith to move mountains, the gift of working in miracles, the gift of even generosity of giving and everything. You say it is nothing. It is useless if I do not have love. The Living Bible says, if I didn't love others, it would be of no value whatever. And the Message translation says, if I don't love, I got nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I am bankrupt without love. So you see, life, first of all, without love is worthless. Secondly, love and relationships are what life is all about. In fact, God tells us love and relationships are what life is all about. He tells us the importance of relationship in the Ten Commandments. How do you view the Ten Commandments? Do you know that in the Ten Commandments, it's all about relationship? The first four commandments is our relationship with God. You shall have no other God beside me. You shall not have no graven images. And then you shall not take the Lord's name in vain. And you shall keep the Sabbath. That's the first four commandments, is about relationship with God. And then the next sixth commandment talks about our relationship with others, right? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. But before that, it says, honor your father and your mother. That's about relationship with your parents. Then the next, first God, then your immediate family, then the rest, you shall not steal, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not covet your neighbor's good, covet your neighbor's wife, you shall not bear false witnesses, you shall not commit adultery. And so here you see all 10 commands are about relationships. So Jesus summarized what matters most to God in two statements found in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 to verse 40. See, Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is equally important. That is, to love your neighbor as yourself." Then verse 40, "The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments." But if you love God and you love your neighbors, you will keep the Ten Commandments. It's just all summed up there. So loving God and loving people are two greatest commandments. Right? And that's part of our motto, Agape Church, is to love God and to love people. Right? So after learning to love God first and foremost, worship, learning to love others is the second greatest purpose of our life. Now, relationships, not achievements, not acquisition of things, are what matters most in life. So when a person is dying, when you are dying and standing to the age of eternity, you won't say, "Bring my diploma, bring my medals that I have worn, you know, bring my diamond ring, bring my gold watch, bring the awards that I have, bring all whatever it is. My bank account, see how much it is left." So when life on earth is ending, people don't surround themselves with objects, do they? What is most important to you? What we want around us is people whom you love, whom you have relationship with. And so when the person is dying and there is no loved one beside them, that's a really tragic thing to do. So when you're doing hospital visitation, there's one of the beautiful things you can be with someone and show care and love, right? Because that dying person is not asking for anything else. Because after all, we can't bring all this to heaven, can we? The relationship is always lasting. You can always remember those things. In the final moments, we all realize that relationships are what life is all about. Come and think of it. Why does parents work so hard? We work so hard. Children, listen here, you know, so that we keep our children, give them the best schooling and education and all this stuff. Why does the parents keep counseling the children what to do and what not to do? It's again, what about relationship, right? And our husband and wife, loving each other. It's all about relationship. And with friends and how you treat each other, the honor each other, the respect each other, and all the things that we're doing is all about relationship. Galatians 5, verse 6b, the Bible says, "The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love." In the contemporary English version, say, "All that matters is your faith that makes you love others." So if you say you love God and you don't love others, you're contradicting yourself. It's just an oxymoron. A Christian who loves God will love others. Because God is love. Jesus said the most important things. And Paul even said, important things can be measured by how much time we are willing to invest in them. See, if you really love the Super Bowl, that's going on tomorrow. And I invited one or two friends from a neighbor. I said, "Sorry, Matthew, I shall book another day. I'm going for the Super Bowl." No, so they couldn't make it. He said, "I'm having some friends, you know. No matter what invitation, whether there's roast duck, lechon, whatever stuff there's on the plate, prawns and lobster. No, if you love something else, all these things doesn't matter to you, right? It's a measure of the time that you time say is sometimes what you give. Relationship takes time and effort, and the best way to spell love is, my wife always say, T-I-M-E, right? If you love me, you want to spend time with me. Because time is precious, right? You give time to something, you don't just simply give time to something you don't like, to, right? You give time to something you love, regardless of whatever it is, right? And not only time, you give your effort and other things too. The essence of love is not what we think or do or provide for others, but how much we give ourselves. Jesus modeled this. How did Jesus model this? In Ephesians 5, verse 2. In the Living Bible translation, it said, live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. So we are to live our life following the example of Christ, that is, filled with love. He loved us. How did he love us? And offer himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma of God. Now, our Heavenly Father show how much he loves us. Everybody know John 3:16, isn't it? How did God love us? For God so loved the world that he gave. He didn't just simply, he gave his one and only Son, right? That whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So God loves us with an unconditional love, an everlasting love. He will never stop loving us no matter how far we have run and what we have done. That's the beautiful thing about God's love. His love always pursues us. That's how much he loves us. Now thirdly, love will last forever. Isn't it wonderful? I like to talk about love. Well, another reason God tells us to make love our top priority is that it has eternal value. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8 reads, love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. But where there are tongues, they will be still. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. All right? But in the New Living Translation, it says, yet it is prophecies and speaking in unknown languages, special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, in the New Living Translation, there are three things will last forever. What are the three things that will last forever? Faith, your hope, and love. Everybody know this, faith, hope, and love. And what's the greatest? Right? Yeah, love. L-O-V-E, right? Love. Fourthly, love leaves a legacy, a lasting legacy. How you are treated people, not your wealth or accomplishment, is the most enduring impact that you can leave on earth. You can have people who are so rich, they are so accomplished, and whatever it is. But if they do not have shown love, they don't treat you like, you know, loving you and caring for you and whatever it is. It is. Do you remember such people? You know, they might have a lot of money, they abuse you and whatever it is. You know, they talk down on you. They got all this accomplishment and all this stuff. See, I like what Theodore Roosevelt say. What does he say? Nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. Right? If you show love, you might not know a lot of stuff, right? But they will want to know, right? About you and talk to you. So people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care or love them. Like what Mother Teresa said, is not what you do, but how much love you put into it that matters. Right? You can do a lot of stuff, but if you're not doing out of love, this all comes to nothing. So love is a key and a secret of a lasting heritage. Just about 2 years ago, there's one pastor that we know. I mean, he died through an accident. So we attended actually his funeral. He was down in Mission. His name is Bill, you know. And then, you know, after this guy, you know, actually he's passing a very big church, you know, a fairly small church to the homeless and to all those people down and out. And so, but he always got a smile. Bill always got a smile. And whenever you're with Bill, you know that he really loves you. You know, in his funeral, they have to rent a place because they're actually in Mission, right? This big church. The whole church was packed. I said, wow, I look at the cars. I said, Bill, this guy, you know, we know him for a number of years. In fact, in one of the conferences, he was just sitting beside Bill. And each testimonies that we heard about somebody, the circle of friends that he knows, and everybody talk about how Bill is a person, when you talk to him, he loves you. He cares for you. He believes in you. And tears will come out, you know, from people giving a testimony about Bill. And so, to leave a lasting legacy, let's remember, love, leave a lasting legacy. Now, to show love and care for one another, God has called us and put us together into his family, the church. We are called to belong and not just believe. So the living it out, you're called to belong and not just believe. See, when we believe in Jesus Christ to be our Lord and Savior, when we confess him, we become a child of God. Right? We become a children of God. Right? And as a children of God, we worship the same Father. Right? When you are born into the family, say a physical family, you belong to that family, don't you? Like the twin brother, Jeff and Jonas, you know, when they're born there, wow, these twins, wow, they are the chocks, you know. They belong to the family, no matter what they are, no matter how far they go, right? Up to Alaska, but we are very close to Alaska now. No, maybe not down to Timbuktu, right? They still belong to the family. And likewise too, as a believer, we belong to God's family. Not only in our belief, but actually we belong to the family. Even in the perfect, sinless environment of Eden, Genesis 2:18 said, the Lord say it is not good for man to be alone. Nobody is to be a lone ranger. Understand? As a Christians, we all belong to a family of God. We belong to a church. We are created for community, fashioned for fellowship, and form for our family. And none of us fulfill God's purpose by ourselves. Right? Look at the church here now. None of, you know, everybody is belonging to this family. And each of us, as a family of God, we got our part to play, right? We all in the family. And Jesus Christ is the head of the church. But Satan loves to detach believers isolated from God's family because he knows that they are defenseless and powerless against his tactic. There are a lot of Christians said to say this, oh, I just believe in the church. I believe in the God. No, but I don't go to church. I don't belong to a family. No, we are a family. Agape Church is a family where you not only believe, but you belong here, right? There's our motto, there is a place for you, right? There's a place for each one of us here because we are part of it. 1 Peter 5 says, tells us, stay alert, watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And I notice, you know, you have come to a lot of Christians who are not belonging to a particular church or what, not very easily they will fall in their walk with God. A good illustration is, imagine a blazing campfire on a cold night, right? When you have a cold winter, you have a blazing thing burning out, right? Despite a relentless assault, the darkness and the chill cannot overcome the light and heat of the flame that illuminates. When the thing is really burning red hot, no matter what it is it's still burning. Right? It keeps you warm. And once the coal is taken out from that log, the campfire, it will burn for a while. But nevertheless, it's a matter of time that this this coal taken out from this log, right, will slowly diminish and die. And what does it say? You know, something in the Christian, they say, God says in the Hebrews, do not forsake the assembly of God's people. When we are in the body of Christ, we're here belonging, we're here to stir up one another, to encourage one another, right, into the holy faith, and to build up one another. We are not made to be lone rangers. So while your relationship is personal, God never intends it to be private, right? In God's family, you are reconnected to every other believer and we will belong to each other for eternity. The Bible tells us in Romans 12 verse 5, so in Christ, we though many form one body and each member belongs to all the others. And Colossians 1:18 tells us, and Christ is the head of the body, which is the church. So friends, in short, we are members of his body, the church. And so we belong to a church. We belong to each other in a body, the church where Christ is the head. And God has saved and called us together to belong to a family so that we can encourage one another and build up one another in Christ, using our God-given talents and gifts to reach out to the lost and perishing community. The person who says, oh, I don't need a church, is either arrogant or ignorant. The church is so significant that Jesus died on the cross for it. In fact, Ephesians 5:25 reads, Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. So the Bible calls the church the bride of Christ, the body of Christ. And I can't imagine saying, you can't imagine saying to Jesus, I love you, but I dislike your wife. Or I accept you, but I reject your body. We do this whenever we dismiss or demean or complain about the church. Instead, God commands us to love the church as much as Jesus does. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2 verse 17, show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. So we are to love the family of believers. You know, to each one of you here, you know, we love each one of you. And let's pray. And so God has put us here together to exhibit, to show, you know, we accept each other's weaknesses, and but at the same time, we love our spiritual family. I like what John F. Kennedy says. You know, in our inaugural address, see, sadly, many Christians use the church, but don't love it. How do you mean they use the church? Oh, they use the church. Oh, you go to this church, and oh, plenty of the stuff, right? They only go there. What can I benefit from the church? What can I benefit? You know, no matter what program or whatever is in the church is running, but they would not contribute or give of themselves to serve it. So John F. Kennedy said this in his inaugural address. My fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. Friends, the church is God's instrument and ambassador on earth. When Jesus walked the earth, God worked through the physical body of Christ. He uses his spiritual body, the church, you and I, the church, to reach out. So there is nothing else on earth like the church. Bill Hybels says, the senior pastor of Willow Creek, says the local church is the hope of the world. All the local church, they are the hope of the world. We are saying Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. We proclaim that Jesus is the hope of the world. So why is it? And because when the local church stewards the message of Christ, it truly is the hope of the world. And Jesus Christ is the only hope to the world. So we are not just to model God's love by loving each other, but we are to carry it together to the rest of the world like the early church. As members of the Christ body, we are his hands, we are his feet, we are his eyes, we are his heart. He works through us in the world. We each have a contribution to make, each one of you here. As we work together in harmony and in unity and love one another as Christ loves us, the world is going to take notice of the church. That's why the scripture says, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. We will be so attractive. We will be so irresistible and contagious to the non-Christians that they would want to know the Jesus Christ whom we know and whom we believe and whom we worship. And like the early church in the book of Acts, as they live out the Christian life, devoting themselves to the loving God supremely, devoting themselves to the apostle teaching and to prayer, to worship, and to meeting regularly, sharing the lives of fellowshipping together, a sense of belonging, and loving each other, the church grew and the kingdom of God were extended. In fact, Acts 2 verse 47 says, tells us that praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to the number daily those who were being saved. There was a story told by a young orphan boy by the name of Ralph. He was a young boy, and one cold winter day, he will walk to the church. And so there was this greeter, Kennedy. He said, "Hey, welcome, Ralph. It's sure cold out there." He said, "Yes, it's sure cold." He said, "How long have you walked?" Ralph said, "I have walked 4 miles. 4 miles. And how many churches did you pass?" He said, "I passed by 22 churches. On the way, I could have stopped at any of the church." So then Kennedy was very curious. "Why, Ralph, do you come to this church?" He said, "Because here they love a fellow like me." See, friends, people are looking for love, right? Of course, I'm talking about genuine love, right? We are able to love because Christ first loved us. When we have experienced God's love, you know what God's love is? The agape love, the unconditional love. See, that's why love is one of the most powerful thing, you know, on earth. And Jesus said, that's why, you know, what mattered the most in life? Love. So if we, as a church, as a body of Christ, truly learn to really love and give of ourselves, one another, we're going to see tremendous spiritual growth in our own life like never before. Because love, in a sense, is not quite natural, but then God's love, that's what He wants each one of us to do. Amen? Despite of whatever weaknesses, despite of whatever things you say that offended me, whatever it is, I still love you. That's what God tells us. God's love pursues us. Regardless of what we have done, although we ask God for forgiveness many, many times, and sometimes when we fail Him, but yet He never stopped loving us. Amen? So there's a song here that I asked the worship team to sing. Actually, it's a very old song. Some of you might know this song. It's going back, it shows our age, but it's very meaningful. It's got a real nice folk music in there, Jewish little tune. It's called, "They Will Know We Are Christians By Our Love." Right? All know that? Say, "We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. And we pray that all unity may one day be restored." That's what Jesus prayed. Pray for unity and oneness. Because we come with a lot of baggages in our lives and whatever it is. That's why we had the freedom session, to pray that through the freedom session, as we deal with those things in our life, we'll be able to see and express freeness and able to see authenticity and really genuinely love people as Christ loves us. To be His hands, to be His eyes, to be His feet. Amen? And that song is very self-explanatory. And let's, for now, before we sing the song, maybe the worship team can just come forward in a very short while. We're going to sing that song. I thank God they're up to it because last minute, they only got the song on Saturday, so they've been. But the main thing is the spirit of the song, right? It's the lyrics of the song that matters the most. And we are here to worship the Lord, to sing with our heart. And even as we sing the song, let it be a prayer. But before that, with every eyes closed and every head bowed, what is the Lord speaking to you this morning?